Well, we shall start right now. Episode 34 of A Gaming Podcast. We're back after a nice, well-rested week. Caboose, how are you doing, my man?
Good, good. I am glad to be back. And I guess it's going to be an eventful episode today, but it's going to be an eventful friggin' summer coming up. It sounds like
it's heating up. That's for sure.
Yeah, I'm hyped. I'm hyped to get into it.
Yeah. Steve Saylor, how about yourself?
I'm doing good. I'm just like drowning in projects at the moment. I'm just like, I've gotten to Notion lately just to try to keep track of everything because on a daily basis, I'm like, okay, what am I supposed to be doing? And what do I got to prioritize? What do I got to work on? Like, not only just for my, it's like my own projects, but also, you know, client work and stuff like that. I mean, you know, it's just, it's the life of a freelancer / content creator. It's great.
That's it.
I love it.
Who's better, Notion or Monday?
Notion, but Stevie Monday is my favorite person in the world.
Good one.
Good one. Well, speaking of Stevie Monday,
I'm doing really well, you know, back from a little vacation to Disney World. Hell, that was a lot of fun. Now just back in the swing of things. And yeah, like Caboose was saying, it's gearing up for an exciting summer. So I'm excited to talk about it all.
Absolutely. And then Riley, premium Riley over there.
Premium. Hey, yeah. No, pretty good over here. Honestly, like some exciting news that we're going to be able to talk about shortly. But gearing up for summer at this point.
Hell yeah. Well, I'm glad everyone took a week off. And so it seemed like gaming took a week off as well, because this week everyone's just like, here's everything, including Xbox, naming with their showcase happening on June 9th at 10 a.m. And also Redacted. We won't, you know, Steve, you might be out for Redacted, just letting you know. But everyone else, what's going on with this Redacted thing?
I mean, it's Call of Duty. I saw that symbol and I was like, oh, that's the most Call of Duty ass symbol I've ever seen in my life. Yeah.
They didn't even try.
I was wondering what it was that like gave it away. But like when I looked at it, I was like, yeah, like that looks, you know, that gives me like the Black Ops vibes, right? Yeah. So I guess it's just Call of Duty showcase.
I'm just saying, I'm declaring this, acknowledging right now, I cannot confirm or deny any that it is Call of Duty. Right. I have to say it because I do work on Call of Duty right now. Yeah. So I cannot say anything, but you know, continue the discussion.
So you mean your silence doesn't confirm anything?
Just no.
That's why I had to declare it first. It's not confirming. No comment. Confirming or denying.
All right.
Smart. Good test. Keep yourself out of trouble. Yeah. I was going to say, though, Aaron, there's no other franchise out there that is so self-indulgent in its Redacted symbolism.
That's very true, actually.
Like any Call of Duty, it's just lines and black Sharpie lines. Oh, we can't talk about this location, Mason. Stuff like that.
What do they mean, Mason? Yeah.
Exactly. So as soon as they were like, oh, it's Redacted, the first thing I did personally was take my mouse and like highlight it. I was like, come on, okay, they are smarter than that. It's just the word
literally,
Redacted.
I literally did the exact same thing and I just copied and pasted Redacted. I was like, damn it.
You guys know me way too well. But yeah, as soon as I saw the symbol in their little asset, the first thing honestly that popped in my mind was Diamond Dogs from Metal Gear Solid 5. I was like, okay, hold up. And I was like, hold up. Wait, there's three little wolves there. I know Call of Duty. They love to call themselves team Xfil Wolves or Team Desert Wolves. Like that's exactly what it's going to be. So I was like, okay, you know what? I'm excited for any kind of Call of Duty announcement. I think it's super smart that Microsoft comes out and they're like, hey, we're going to do this back to back, similar to what they did with Starfield last year. And then also it sets expectations of this next month and a few weeks of like, oh, when's the Call of Duty announcement? When's that? Because it usually falls around the May period traditionally. I mean, it's been 10 years of them doing their own thing or PlayStation owning that announcement. So now it's, you know,
it's been a while.
Question. Is pen to paper on the Activision deal now? Like it's done. So then this is now the first Call of Duty under Xbox's umbrella.
Okay. They're treating it as their own now.
Which I imagine is why it's going to be pretty big about this whole showcase being now like marketing is all now under Xbox. Like they got full control. Now, I mean, Phil Spencer's been very adamant that these Call of Duty games are still going to be multi-platform, that we're still going to see it on PlayStation, PC in the works. Right. But you got
waiting
wonder.
For that Switch port though.
That's true. Well, they signed a deal on that.
That was in there. 10 years.
Yeah, so maybe this is where we start. But I also wonder, like, there's got to be something that's Xbox exclusive, right? Whether it's going to be this pre-order bonus or the maps, right? Like, that was always a big thing. Even back from the 360 days, it was originally the maps that were exclusive to Xbox. Right. Then we shifted to PlayStation. Yep. Are we coming back to Xbox? You know?
Actually signed a deal to keep everything uniform across all the... So, like, they won't have exclusivity on any...
Really?
If it's a costume or if it's a map, yeah.
Is the PlayStation one still going on now? Or is that done? The PlayStation got like DLC maps first.
Now I think that ended with Warfare 3.
Yeah, okay. I believe so. Yeah, because if Microsoft is taking the marketing rights during the showcase, you would assume that PlayStation just doesn't have it anymore.
It's not like
they're gonna, you know, trade hands this whole season.
So now the only other question that I ask is like, what do you think we're doing here in regards to Call of Duty? Like, is this gonna be another Black Ops? Is it gonna be similar to like how Modern Warfare got the whole remake treatment? Are we going back to Black Ops and giving those games kind of the remake thing? Like,
I guess
this would be a continuation of the last one.
Oh, right, because the last one was kind of that. Or what was the last call? Guys, I'm out of luck on this one. Cold War was the last one.
Cold War.
Then we had MW3.
Right. No, well, okay. Sorry. Okay, hold on.
No, wasn't MW3 no. like a I really DLC? Get into it.
Cold Vanguard. War, Vanguard, Modern Warfare 2, Modern Warfare 3?
Yeah.
Two and three.
That sounds right. Yeah. That sounds right.
Okay.
Because MW3 originally, I remember in its conception, was supposed to be like a story DLC. And then it became its own thing, and I think that disappointed a lot of people. I don't know. I'm waiting to see what's going to happen now going forward for Call of Duty. I think we need to go back to like Modern Warfare when they did the whole reboot thing. Like, that's the best Call of Duty in a very long time. And that's obviously when they started to bring in Warzone and all that fun stuff. And I feel like it just hasn't scratched that itch for me since. And I think they've been trying to replicate that success. So I wonder if this is the one. Again, now we're under Xbox's umbrella. You know, this is the first game post Activision merging now with or not merging, but being bought out by Xbox. So I'm very excited to see what's in store. I hope this is going to be one that kind of brings us back to form again for Call of Duty, because it was in a really good spot, and then we started to go a little off the rails. So I'm hoping we can get back on track.
Now I'm surprised they didn't take like time off.
Oh, okay.
Envision this.
TV Monday, what you got?
Oh, where we got first?
You got your standard cinematic trailer. It's bombastic. You get some rock and roll in there. You know, it cuts.
AC/DC.
It gives you like yeah, exactly. Back in black, right? Back in black. Yeah. And then it cuts to black. And all they have to do to get an automatic W is just show the plane flying over Verdansk. That's all they have to do. That's all they have to do. And yeah, I will be out of my seat screaming, crying, throwing up, everything.
I'm with you, Steve, on that one. Honestly,
even with the throwing up part, too? Yeah, I'm with you. I'm going to throw up with you.
Oh, yeah. Solidarity. Absolutely. We'll be throwing up together, you know? Yeah. Like,
we're going to make sure I don't sit near you at the LA Fan Fest then, just to make sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be really down for that. I think that would be really, really good, because I mean, yeah, I want to go back. I'm a Verdanskanite, you know, like I need to go back.
I'm actually surprised. I thought they were just going to take a break, like a year break, though.
There were rumors at one point for that to happen.
Yeah. And then they realized like,
no, we like money. We like money.
Turns out, you gotta make a product to make money.
Yeah.
I know we're talking about COD, but my initial thought was like, oh, are they finally gonna talk about Contraband? Which was their exclusive that they, because like the dollar bill in the background and all the redacted info is like,
that's true, actually. Yeah. So
that's big.
I was kind of curious about that, but I mean, hopefully
during the actual showcase, who knows? I mean, what can happen during the actual Xbox game showcase? That's going to be a big one. I'm really interested to see what they're gonna have in store. I know for sure for a lot of people, we're all like crossing our fingers. We're hoping Gears 6, you know, like it's been quite a bit of time
since
Gears 5. I didn't love Gears 5, but I think it was starting to like, it was stepping back into the right direction. And so, like, I think we continue to head that way. Like, we could see another great Gears game, maybe just get back to the glory of Gears 2, Gears 3. You know, that franchise, still, I feel like it still has got a lot of power. It's got a lot left in it. And I hope that that we see an announcement and we get something big there.
Yeah, absolutely. I think on top of that, it's going to be interesting to see how they frame Gears 6, considering... Yeah. The ending of Gears 5 and the multiple endings of that. It's going to be very interesting to see how they deal with like the canon of that, or
right.
how they even maybe they bring over
Sam. Are we able to talk about that now, or is that a spoiler?
I hope so.
Because,
I
would like, it's been a big year. Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like when I look at the perfect example to what you're talking about, Steve, is Mortal Kombat. Sure. MK11 had that DLC, the Aftermath thing, where there were like multiple endings,
right?
And then it just ended up being that like they just chose for themselves what the canon ending is, you know. And yeah. I feel like they can absolutely do. I mean, I guess it ended up turning out that like both the endings technically were canon, but at the end of the day, like going into MK1's story, it was based on the good ending from MK11 Aftermath. So I imagine if we're going into Gear 6, like they'll just choose for themselves like what ending they want to be canon, and then just move forward from there.
Yeah, there's no ambiguity between the two where they're like, oh, we can play kind of both sides into
this.
It is kind of a Mass Effect 2, Mass Effect 3.
Or if they do like a multiverse thing like MK as well. Sure.
Everyone's doing it.
Multiverse now.
Yeah. Everyone's so doing
who
it.
Who knows? But I imagine they'll say, all right, this is the canon ending, and that's what we're going with for now.
Anything Fallout related, you think?
I'm sure Xbox would love to do that. That show, Steve, you weren't lying, man. That's like, and you know what? Like, the more that I think about it, it might actually be the best video game adaptation, just purely when you look at what it did for the games. Mm-hmm. Like, I never loved Fallout. Okay, I've tried to play it multiple times. It's janky. Like, the gameplay just it never worked for me. I understand that there's like people love it for what it is, but I could never like connect with it. But watching that show was like, I got to give it another shot. Like, I have to. So I got Fallout 76 because you can get it for free through Prime. I haven't jumped in yet. I bought Fallout 4 because it was on an insane sale.
Right.
On PlayStation. I got it for like $5. So it was like, literally, why not?
Oh, wow.
But to couldn't my understanding, these games are best experienced like on PC when you can get mods.
100%.
I feel like a lot of people have said that. So I might just say, screw it. I'm going to get Fallout 3, get all the mods that everybody recommends, because that's the one that like my cousin raves about. Like, everyone I know who's ever talked about Fallout is like, Fallout 3 is the one, you know. Outside of that, maybe New Vegas as well, obviously. I got to jump back. It's crazy that the show is giving me an itch to play a game that I was like mentally checked out of, you know. Like, that's what's insane about it.
That's 76 for me. I was so checked out. I had already written it off. I was like, this isn't the game for me. And ever since the show, I've been like dropping in and out of it, and I was you know what, it's surprisingly fun for what it is. It's not, you know, Fallout 5, but I'm having fun with it. I played like maybe 20 hours so far.
Yeah, it's like,
not bad.
I know, because Todd was on Kind of Funny. He mentioned Fallout 5 on 2030 is coming out. Makes sense, you know, because there's still,
if we make it,
you
done.
Know, that's
change how they do that. Yeah, like, really, it's just, I get it. Okay, they want to focus everything on like on the game that they're currently working on, you know, all hands on deck, whatever. And yes, of course, like the next game they're working on right now is Elder Scrolls 6. And then, you know, a little bit of a team working on Starfield. But to be able to like to not capitalize on Fallout right now and having to wait to 2030, we're going to have like season 2, 3, maybe even 4 by the time that that game comes out. And I mean, I know I don't want to ever rush anything in regards to getting a Fallout game out there, but it just seems so stupid that basically you're like, oh yeah, 2030 is when the next Fallout game
I'll is be honest.
Out.
I think a part of it is genuinely just that they didn't have as much faith in the show as they should have. And you can see evidence.
Yeah, maybe
that is evident in the fact that they did the binge drop instead of week to week. Like, that almost, especially nowadays with streaming, 99% of the time, if you're seeing a show, unless it's on Netflix, because that's just Netflix's model, that's what they always do. But for the most part,
they do week to week as well as some
they
shows.
Have done, yeah.
Well,
yeah,
yes, they've done week to week, and especially I know with Stranger Things, they did like the splitting up of the season to try and just to create that like continued conversation that you get out of the event, exactly, the event viewing. But usually when you see a show drop the entire season day one, it's like, oh boy, like that doesn't instill a lot of confidence in the project.
It's definitely like straight to DVD feel.
And, yeah. And I think that they were caught off guard by like, not just people were like, yeah, you know what? Like, this is pretty good. Like an 80% of Rotten Tomatoes. No, people were like, this is up there. Best video game adaptation.
I think part of it too, because I mean, like when you talk about sort of the Hollywood aspect of this, like kind of taking away the video game side for a second.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On paper, it sounds like it would be a great success. You got like you got Jonathan Nolan, Lisa Joy. Basically, they like part of the like they've created this Westworld, which was a giant hit for HBO. It would be a giant get for Amazon and MGM to basically to be like, hey, we got one of the Nolan brothers to make a thing for us. And then having the cast that it does, like, yeah, okay, Walton Goggins is kind of like is and then Kyle MacLachlan, probably the only two like known stars that essentially people might gravitate towards. Mm-hmm. I can see why Amazon would be like, well, we have sort of a success. That's why we picked it up in the first place, but whether or not it's going to be good, I think what they put in there or what that made that decision was, it's a video game. And video game adaptations at that time when they probably made that deal was like, it's not really that great right now. I mean, the only one that like probably around the time when they made that deal that was pretty decent was Arcane. Because Last of Us hadn't come out yet, so we didn't know what a video game adaptation should be like. And
then you have like Sonic, which is just like fluff, right? Like they're good. Yeah. The movies are good, but they're not like holy smokes, you know what I mean?
Sure.
So I think you're absolutely right. I think that definitely plays into it. God bless Jonathan Nolan for his involvement in the series and clearly for being passionate and loving the franchise. Every interview I've ever watched where he's talked about it, you can just tell like this dude really does love.
Yeah, Fallout, he's a fan.
You know, it's not like he's just like, I got hired on this project, I'll jump into the game for the first time, you know? And I think that's just what you need going into any video game adaptation. But yeah, at the end of the day, the point that I'm trying to make here is it seemed like there wasn't a whole lot of faith in this series doing well. And so because of that, behind the scenes, maybe Bethesda was like, well, we'll just take our time then. I guess we'll Fallout 5. And when we get there, 2030, whenever it might be. But I imagine Phil Spencer is like banging on Todd Howard's door every single day since the Fallout show premiered, being like, get to work on this game right now.
At the very least, they
should get some remasters out. Something well, to I was like, gonna just mention, keep those like, games mm, in mm-hmm. the public conscience. You know?
Some remasters could carry us over, like even have like, I don't know like how many what studio can work on which, but you can have Fallout New Vegas remaster if like the next season is going to be set in Vegas. I have no idea. I haven't seen the show as of yet because I'm still working through other things. But but like if it is to be the next season and then you, like to get people hyped up about that, be like, oh, you know what, we're remastering New Vegas, and then that turns to be the next season because who knows when season two even comes out for the show?
I don't right.
They could probably line that up time to time, and then you probably have a quicker turnaround time to do a remaster. So.
I see a lot of
people lobbying for Obsidian, obviously, to become like a support studio, maybe break the mantle of like
they've got a New lot Vegas of their plate.
I mean, they got a Valve. They have a Valve coming out. Yeah,
and then Outer Worlds did, 2 and that they still
Outer Worlds 2. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And whatever like, side project they all got working on, you know, they got some like Josh Sawyer's probably got something else cooking up.
Exactly,
the
but like two, but.
Could it like Toys for Bob do something? I guess I know they're not with them, but like they're still doing work with them. I think that's like the agreement.
Give it to a Call of Duty studio.
Yeah,
give it to a Call of Duty studio. They know first person. They can get rid of VATS finally. Imagine that.
Actually, I kind of like the VATS. I kind of got used to it after like when I got jumped back into Fallout 4 again. I was like, okay, yeah, you know, VATS kind of work. But I can't remember if I talked to you guys about this already or just some sort of content I might have whatever. But I love the fact that at least for this release of the show that they put a lot of effort into promoting the games. That way better than PlayStation did with The Last of Us. I mean, The Last of Us, you know, I know that like part one, the remake kind of came out in like a couple months prior to the show, I think like in September, and then the show launched in January. But I love the fact that they were like, you know what, we're putting all the games on sale. 76 for free through Prime.
Yeah.
You know, Prime is the updates to Fallout 4 to finally make it next gen.
Prime is just so accessible.
That's the thing. Like,
It's on Amazon Prime,
and then like gamers will have Prime most likely, you know. So
well, the thing is though, when you look at like The Last of Us, like I think that was treated less of like we want to try and get a new audience into the games, and more of like we want to tell the game's story for a new audience, you know.
True, yeah. I think whereas, if, like getting back into like if they're they watch the show and they're like, oh, I want to play The Last of Us, and then they realize like, oh, it's just
the, I watched the show already.
But this, what I liked is that they did. You know, like they did the whole world of Fallout instead of just a story, which totally means that like all the games are available and approachable because it's not the same story yet, the same world and the same history and the same lore. But
yeah, there's so many things when you jump back into the games. Yeah, there's so many things when you jump back into the games, you're gonna be like, oh, like I remember that now when I watch the show, like that creature or like that concept, the whole idea of the vaults, right? Like I really do dig what they did with that show. But to go back to the showcase, I wouldn't be surprised if they at the very least just like talk about Fallout 5 just because of the craze, just because of everything, even just to say, because I don't know if you guys remember several years ago now when Bethesda did their own showcase at E3 just to say, we're working on the next Elder Scrolls.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Like they could totally do just another similar thing to that. Just be like, I mean, we just saw too recently, CD Projekt Red just did that, announcing that they're working on another Cyberpunk. They're working on a new Witcher franchise, right? Like we get a very similar thing to that, the like Xbox showcase, right? Just saying, hey, here's kind of the plan right now. We've got up next, the next Elder Scrolls. You guys have been really hyped for this. This is big for us. You know, we know how much you love the franchise. Then after that, Fallout 5, get excited. We all know you love the show. We're going to really try and put everything into this kind of thing.
I think just as like an additional onto that, only because Todd, I think, has been very vocal of like, that is the next game. I don't know if just saying Fallout is.
Yeah, the next, maybe there got to be a little something more.
I think it would be very cool if they were like, hey, Fallout 5 is set in San Francisco.
Right.
Or, you know, like explain to us what the game's going to be. That way people would be like, oh shit, okay, here we go.
Give us some concept art or something.
Something.
Yeah. I just had an interesting thought.
Oh boy.
Because, you know,
Death Stranding 2. No.
Hey, that's available on your phone right now. Just saying.
It's true. Yeah. Bethesda is not just one studio, right? What if, like, id Software or Arcane Austin or Tango Gameworks decides to be like, yeah, we're going to work on a Fallout game?
Yeah. Sure.
And again, that could Zenimax Online, which is basically like at the same, you know, same studio, but they're working on, you know, Elder Scrolls Online stuff. But
yeah,
I
mean, it could definitely be a Phil Spencer call too, where he's like, we want to get another Fallout game in production. If it's going to take too long to have it done by you guys, let's ship this off to, like you said, an id Software or a Tango, you know, like just somebody else that can get to work on it right now and hit the ground running.
Bare minimum, like a remake. Or something.
I honestly do think that remasters or remakes, it's something that if it's not currently in active development, is something that is being heavily considered.
I would say.
And on top of that too, like I think that like we still can't access Fallout 1, 2, Tactics, like these classic games, like get those on console, like remake or remaster, maybe Vegas or 3, like something like that would be just perfect, just to keep it humming along and giving Fallout fans a little bit more content, a little more backstory that they address so much of that narrative and stuff in the show as well. So like those games are instrumental in understanding like more of that world and environment.
Wait, those games.
So it's good to have it accessible.
Those games are not available on console. I know they're on PC.
No. You can't play 1, 2, or Tactics on console.
No. They're top down like PC game.
Or Brotherhood of Steel.
Or
even bring it out to the Switch. Like you have so many installed bases. Yeah, like the Switch. Man, it Switch only has the Vault game, I think, which is like just a regular
Shelter.
Yeah, Shelter game. Yeah.
And Vault Boys and Smash Brothers as a costume. Which is a weird
thing. Oh, man, that's huge. Right. You know
what? Sakurai knew. He knew in advance.
Now that we have like a confirmation that season 2 is happening, You know what, like, as Marcel, as you said, like, potentially, like there is a potential, like, it could be like New Vegas, at least where they might be headed. Having a New Vegas remaster by the time that the season two comes out might not be a bad idea.
That'd be huge.
That would be a great idea.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Just announce it this year and just say, hey, listen, it'll be 2025, and then it could align very nicely with another season. That would be
huge. Put in freaking Ron Perlman, damn it.
And imagine that 2025 Fallout and GTA 6 the same year.
That's too much. That's too much gaming.
Be a good year.
Talking, man.
It's gonna be a good year.
I was just gonna ask: are we gonna see Fable this year?
Riley,
I said Fable, not Banjo Kazooie.
I'm thinking that's a next year.
Damn.
I'm thinking Fable's next year.
Is gonna release this year?
No, I just think they'll show it.
Yeah.
Oh, show it at the show.
Yeah.
I can see that. Okay.
Do you think
maybe? I think that's release years here? Away.
Years
release
away?
No. Years? No.
They Fable, announced it years ago. Away. What do you mean?
No, I don't think it's. I don't think it's that far.
CG trailers.
I don't think it'll be next year, but I could see 2026.
I could see them finally showing a gameplay trailer at the showcase, and then potentially tease like a 2025 or potentially maybe even a 20 like early 2026.
Definitely, I think
2026 is years away. Like that's I feel like it's that long away.
You're almost done 2024. What do you mean?
I mean, come on.
Dude, we're just about halfway through 24.
We're halfway through 2024, man. Exactly. We're almost
by the
done.
Showcase comes out, it'd be halfway through 2024.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No, it's still
and
years
now that
away.
Camille's here, we can talk about how Death Stranding sucks.
Just joined.
Hi, Camille.
I can't catch a break.
It's so bad.
The abuse starts already. Jeez.
We were all talking about it just before you got in here. So
Thank you, Steve. I could always count on you to be the voice of reason amongst this group.
Both sides of the fence with Steve, isn't it? Like he was talking so much shit about it too.
He's straddling that fence. He's got splinters.
I play both sides. He's
got splinters. I love it.
Oh boy.
Okay, so going back, what comes out first then, Fable or Perfect Dark?
Fable, for sure. If Fable doesn't come out first, as long as we're all reasonable people.
Yeah.
So
Perfect Dark is literally in the dark.
What state Perfect Dark's in? I have no idea what state.
It's literally in the dark.
I think if it could potentially be Perfect Dark, hear me out.
I'm here.
If it's not gonna be good, like if they are you know what, we're not investing any more money, like any more resources, time into this. It's not going to be great. We're just going to release it.
Oh, well, wait, is Crystal Sword
what the hell?
Oh, for what we know. Yeah.
They're screwed.
Yeah. I mean, what's the new company that they're under called? Like, like Barney and Friends. I don't know, whatever it's
called.
Barney and Friends. You didn't hear the Embracer group?
Are you talking about the Embracer companies? Thing?
Yeah.
I thought you meant Embracer company.
Microsoft Studio. Yeah. My bad.
No, but Crystal's is a full-blown Embracer or whatever Friends company now.
Barney and Friends. I think we're going to see Perfect Dark this year.
No shot.
I think we'll see an update on it too. I agree.
I think we're going to see Perfect Dark this year, actually.
Yeah. Wow, we're doing a drink bet right now. This is crazy. We're saying
it right now.
I could do it. I'll jump in that drink bet.
I'm on your side, Steve. There's no way.
No, there's no way they're talking about it. No.
I think we'll definitely hear more about Fallout. Again, a big announcement will be Gear 6.
Yeah.
Obviously, they're going to have this showcase for Call of Duty, which will mean that they're going to be doing some sort of Call of Duty reveal during the actual Xbox showcase.
Yeah.
And then again, I imagine that that they'll maybe give us some sort of an update from Bethesda to say, hey, we're doing this or that for Fallout 5. Like you were saying, Steve, maybe just a location as to where it's going to take place, a concept art on top of that or something that gets the fans hyped because of how much talk there is about Fallout right now. Like, seriously, again, I don't know a video game adaptation that's done this for a game, where like player counts are skyrocketing, like IGN's making guides as if the game came out yesterday. You know, it's like, it's insane.
How 65 million viewers. 65 million viewers.
A lot of viewers. No, on the show.
Didn't like Fallout 76? They said like they had a million players playing in, like on one day.
I think Todd said like yesterday was one of their highest.
Concurrence was over a million. Yeah. I love that. I love that for Fallout. I love that the redemption story of Fallout 76, because everyone hated that when it like came out. It was like there's there were no story. It was literally just you get out of the vault and then it's just whatever.
And you know what? The best thing that is how kind of Bethesda handled it. They were just very upfront. They completely acknowledged like we missed a mark on this one.
Yeah.
But we're gonna keep working and refining this to a point where it's a game that you guys love and it's something that you recognize from our Fallout franchise. It's honestly something that I feel like Rocksteady needs to do right now with Suicide Squad.
Right.
Where they need to just say, hey, listen, we know you guys aren't feeling this right now. We're just going to keep working at it. You know, like, I feel like just pretending like there's no fire is.
Here's a thought that I just had. And back me up if I'm missing, like, maybe an example of this. But I wonder if this is Xbox's secret all along, because Fallout 76 is having a resurgence right now. Yeah. Sea of Thieves has had a huge resurgence, obviously, like now the fact that today it's released on PS5 and that's still going. Do you think it's like that we're now seeing like all the games that we've kind of like at least from Xbox, maybe that's their secret. It's like, okay, if we just stick it out, players are going to jump in and like, and we, they have two successes already just from that formula alone. Like, are there any others that maybe that I'm missing that Xbox has had
collection
that happen?
Had a huge revival.
Sure. Yeah. Master Chief Collection. One. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like Grounded to a
Grounded
to a
yeah.
still well, yeah. popular.
Yeah. True. Like, yeah.
Now that it's on
that game out.
Yeah.
It's got quite a following.
Yeah. I think, you know, it's a lesson learned from like the new IPs they kind of put out there not performing the best they were supposed to or expected to. I think it's just a refocus on like, okay, like, hey, like we know what works. Let's reallocate some of these resources back over here and really push them. So I think it's smart. Yeah. It's a smart plan, but we didn't even settle. Who's in on this drinking bet for?
Yeah, we need to clarify.
I'm in for
Porphyrin Dark is not being talked about this year.
Yeah. I'm on that.
They won't even talk about it at all.
The only loophole I will ever.
You're either in or out.
The only loophole would be if Embracer is like Crystal's out and the initiative is fully taken over. Like that's the only like. Thing that's the only thing I could be like, so okay,
but is that something announced during a showcase?
Are we saying showcase? Is that what we're hearing like this year?
I'm gonna do a double bet
showcase, and it's coming out this year.
I will raise you a double shot of tequila. Camille, I love your ballsiness right now.
this year, early next year.
No, you said this year. You stick to this year.
There's no shot they redfall it. They're not going to just drop that thing. They're not going to redfall
it. It's a Bracer group. You never know.
Okay.
You know what, Camille? I'll even raise you that there'll be zero Perfect Dark, and the only female lead it'll be Lara Croft. They have a strong relationship with Xbox. They're going to announce Lara Croft game at the show.
Lara Croft's going to show up in Perfect Dark?
No. They're going to announce a Lara Croft game at the Xbox show.
Didn't Crystal Dynamics say that they were making another Tomb Raider like a long while ago?
Yeah, Amazon is publishing it.
Okay.
I say it gets announced at the show.
I can see that too.
That's my
show. Oh, yeah. Crystal and Amazon are not Xbox partners.
No, but they have a strong relationship.
They have a solid relationship, but these are Xbox. This is Xbox Studios. They said specifically Xbox, Activision, Blizzard. You know, all
and like additional Bethesda. Titles and from a third party.
Oh, did they say that too?
Oh, yeah. I'm just saying. I'm raising you.
Let's go back to the important part. The bet. Okay, so I'm betting that we are definitely going to at least hear from about Perfect Dark potentially see it. If you want to raise me on that, you can.
Let me timestamp
this. Riley's in for hearing it, right?
I'm in for hearing about it now that I'm thinking about it. I feel like it's actually the Game Awards would be a better venue for that, but I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to say
this year.
I'm going to say that it's going to show up at the at Xbox. Yeah.
Still this year. No.
But this is for
the four of you are saying no. It's not no. gonna. We're not gonna hear about showcase? It at all.
No,
no, no, no. This year no we're not gonna hear no, about it about at
showcase.
All.
No, we're talking about
we're
showcase.
No, we're talking about
showcase.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You can't extend
no,
this.
Hey, don't
you
bend can't it extend around.
This. Oh, okay.
You said showcase.
Okay, okay, okay. I'm gonna say showcase. Yeah, I think we're gonna hear about it. I think all we're right. gonna hear about it.
I would even, if you even want to do a part B to the bet, I would say that Perfect Dark is not talked about even this year.
I'm gonna say absolutely this year.
Wow,
damn! I'm not confident in that.
It's in too much of a development shuffle at the moment that they're. Absolutely. I don't even think that they're barely out of pre-production.
Okay, all right, absolutely this year, and I'm gonna say.
I Marcel, love Camille's confidence.
Marcel, we're also gonna hear something about Lara Croft.
That's my cool. That's my counter bet to you. So.
Okay, I do think
after all of this time, it's time for Banjo.
Oh, no, 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 no.
I genuinely think
no, I'll give you this.
Banjo?
I'll give you
I'm shocked.
Lara right? Croft, Banjo? I'll give you a counter. Lara Croft, not at Xbox, but at Summer Game Fest.
I said this year. I don't care where it shows up. I never even hear about Lara Croft this year.
Amazon, hold on.
You think we're getting Banjo at the showcase, Riley?
I think it's going to happen.
Really?
Right. We're just getting
you say this every year.
This is yeah, Riley. You gotta stop doing this to yourself,
this
man.
This is abuse at this point.
This is not healthy, like Riley.
No. This time it's happening for real. For real, it's gonna happen.
This is the moment.
You have a problem.
Okay.
Riley, I think you need intervention.
I
want to
dive into this little nugget here. Is it like a new game? Is it a remake? What are you anticipating here?
Because how many remakes can they do? Like, come on!
I think maybe
remake of the original.
Easy, yeah, easy remake of 1-2.
Yeah,
easy. Just like remaster that, refamiliar, like make everyone familiar with the characters again, like new audience, and then boom.
Wait, are we talking remake or remaster? You know, just to be able to be playable on new consoles.
I think a remake. I think a remake. Top. Yeah, you can play like the Xbox Live Arcade from the 360 era on. Modern day Xbox hardware,
but I think
they're going to remake it.
I can see them pulling like a gold, like a GoldenEye. Basically, it's the same game, but just and you know, playable
HD. No, the first two are playable currently. So
yeah,
that's now they are. Oh, okay.
Now
there are a couple of Banjo games that aren't, and those bolts, are
right.
Those are, Nuts and Bolts is playable.
Is it?
But
you don't want to play that one again. I'm just letting you know.
And Pilot are a couple of Game Boy Advance games that they've never been playable. Xbox.
Well, if Riley, if you get invited to the Xbox showcase again, that'd probably be the confirmation.
You still have that shirt?
Maybe. I have the shirt. I'm ready to go.
Another round. Let's bring it out again.
Now the showcase happening like with a live audience? Is it just airing?
It's happening in LA only. With a live audience, yeah.
So nice. So there's one other thing. I don't think that we're gonna hear anything about this franchise, but I wanna hear what you guys think on the over under for anything Halo. Future of Halo.
I think you
future,
do.
Whether it be Infinite, whether it be Infinite like maybe another sure. Halo probably. Wars. Yeah.
There's going to be something like Halo.
Maybe a season trailer, but I don't
yeah.
think
for I would say nothing Infinite for sure. Because they're going through hiring right now for game leads at 343. So that makes it, to me, that seems as if like it's probably going to go, whatever project they're working on next is going to go into pre-production.
Yeah.
So I think that they're probably not working on anything other than maybe Infinite at the moment. So right. I'd say Infinite probably would be a good call.
Also, if we're leading with the assumption that Gear 6 is going to be there, historically they never.
That's fair. If that'll be their
the
big.
Two,
this
yeah.
is our
they never yeah. talk about Halo yeah. the same year that yeah, they yeah, talk yeah. about Gears. It's always one or the other.
Yeah. I can't wait for that. Like, Gear 6. Do you think it's going to be like a soft reboot of the series? Or are we talking like an actual continuation?
I think they keep going.
You got to keep going.
Yeah,
really.
You got to finish that story up.
I think they'll finish that story, but I think
Marcus Phoenix, Cody Rhodes,
more like a. I think this will be more like a transition to God of War 2018.
I agree.
I would love that.
That would be cool because like it just been jump into like a basically yeah. soft reboot. That's what I'm saying. Like
yeah.
something like that but still like has the all story, the previous games.
But yeah, something new. I, yeah, yeah, for yeah. sure. Like the softest of reboots.
I imagine like Marcus like in his like 50s and 60s yeah. kind of deal.
Old man Marcus.
Yeah.
Really old.
Gears 5 dope, tried to do right? that soft reboot where they're like, we're not going to lean too heavy into the robots. We'll have them there a little bit, but we're going to go back to, you know, what fans really want out yeah. of Gears. And I respected yeah. that.
And it's just Dom's back for some reason.
I wouldn't complain, man. I'd be stoked. If they brought back Dom somehow, some way.
What's Marcus's name again? Narrow in on
Marcus and then have him see Dom while he's doing stuff. Like that would be pretty dope.
Kind of like a callback,
like a memory.
Like the cost of war. And yeah. Like,
it's different. Ooh, like a battle war, like a battle hardened Marcus Fenix. Now we're talking, going back through that
and you know, reliving that like that war and seeing things that maybe aren't there and some of those memories and everything he's lost.
And then the only other thing for the showcase, although I think there's a 0% chance, but I'm wondering like if we'll get any sort of like substantial update or any idea about what's happening with that Blade game. Like, is it going to be an Xbox exclusive? Like, I doubt it. Or I doubt they're going to talk about it, but I wonder.
Be nice.
For me, I think that would be considered quote unquote bad news if they were to come out and be like, hey, this game, this Marvel game is now like a multi-platform thing. I think that's something that you want to break the news.
That's a press another way.
I can see them maybe doing like a behind the scenes doc, like a little like 3 minute behind the scenes of like, here's what we're working on.
Because rumors are suggesting that the game's coming in what, the 2027 or 26. I remember hearing that it would be arriving a lot sooner than you usually think when a game like that just gets like an announcement trailer, you know, like Wolverine gets an announcement trailer and we won't hear about it for who knows how many more years now. Right.
Well, they just finished Deathloop in 22. So that sounds about right.
But I feel the next thing, like if we hear from it again, it would be at the Game Awards. Like, I think that is the stage for
maybe because that's where the initial reveal was.
And it's like, That game would appeal to people who are not necessarily Xbox fans, like just to know what's the no on that game, right?
I think that's like too big of a gem to like not have it at some point, like in some sort of Xbox showcase.
It'll be in a montage,
especially if the plan is potentially to have it be Xbox exclusive. Like, right. I mean, they've been very coy about that, like they haven't just
because they are still Bethesda. I don't know, it just seems like maybe like I don't know, like the whole like Xbox like exclusivity thing, like that was kind of like rumored back, you know, obviously in December when people were sort of like thinking, are they going multi-platform or not? I wonder if maybe that was they were kind of holding off on saying anything concrete because they knew what they had coming in the beginning of the year. So I'm wondering if maybe they're going to like showcase, double down and be like, no, Blade coming to Xbox, Game Pass, day one.
That's what I'm saying.
Behind the scenes.
That's what I'm saying is maybe we'll get something of that sort because that would be a huge announcement. Now, granted, I don't know if Blade as an Xbox for exclusive or as an Xbox exclusive is going to like go toe to toe with something like Spider-Man, but it's still just to have a Marvel property exclusive to Xbox would be massive. And I mean, the folks behind it, like I have like full faith that game is going to be like a knockout.
It's gonna have so much style to it as well.
I think it's gonna be a very different Marvel game too. Like I think it's been confirmed that it's gonna be like an open world game and stuff, but like it's not going to be like your Spider-Man's or like what we're seeing with this Captain America and Black Panther game, right? Where they go for that very ultra realistic style. This is gonna be more of like a unique look for a game that in the Marvel universe that has that open world thing to it.
Or to imagine, play devil's advocate, maybe they will not say anything because it is not going to be exclusive.
I honestly think the best thing for the business,
thinking of the book of business, making it exclusive is probably not the best thing, especially if they are not in the business of trying to sell like consoles first right now. Day one, maybe on game. Maybe it's like
this is bad news.
Like,
No, it's. I don't think it is. I don't think it is
but,
bad news.
But this
like,
was,
here's
this
the
was
thing.
During
it's been done,
Game Awards, right?
It's been done already. Showcase. It's been done already where games have been announced and then other platforms are like, hey, by the way, it's coming to us too. Like PlayStation has been doing that for years now. They would have like a special exclusive in their State of Play or showcase or whatever. And then, yeah, they'll get like the first rights to basically to talk about it.
Nintendo's the same way.
I think, I think all of this stuff is more delicate though. Like, you see the reaction to the first game.
Yeah, totally. Because it's a Marvel
property.
Yeah,
this is like a major AAA Marvel game. Like,
that is
you have to be so cautious with that. It's not Hi-Fi Rush. And we saw the reaction to that.
Yeah.
Like, you got to be so careful with this.
And I'm pretty sure that
the scale of it would be like if Horizon 3 came out and PlayStation was like, oh, yeah, Xbox 2, whatever.
I would everyone be like, what are you talking about? If we were talking pre-January Xbox podcast, I would agree with you. But post-January Xbox podcast, now that the expectation that is out there that, you know, it's up to Xbox to decide what whether a game is going to be multi-platform.
And, and also, who does Marvel Games doesn't care about your feelings. They want to market their game. So if it's multi-platform, they're going to say, PlayStation, post the trailer.
But do you think it's something where... But do you think it's something where maybe that is like, and maybe it's decided now, but maybe that is still in the works. If it is, maybe they're argument that it should be exclusive.
Been the case.
And maybe they're getting pushback from the other side saying, hey, well, games
deal.
Yes. Exactly. So I like, and I think that's why, like, I think if it was decided to be exclusive already, we would have heard about it already. Like, you don't keep that, you know, under the carpet. You let that news fly because that's big for Xbox.
Well, their alternative is that we know that they've kind of been looking at, like, seeding the expectations of both Grounded and Sea of Thieves of, like, if these games sell well, that's going to initiate Wave 2, Wave 3. Like, it is a very
basis. Again, I think that the... I think the confusing part of it of like it was because it was announced at the Game Awards. It was the rumors of the multi-platform, like what's going to be exclusive, what's not going to be exclusive. Like that was still up in the air. Xbox was still deciding on what to do. They hadn't announced anything yet as far as like they hadn't announced that, you know, that Sea of Thieves was coming to PlayStation 5 or Hi-Fi Rush was coming to PS5 or whatever, or Grounded coming to Switch. So once I think now that the cat's out of the bag and they finally decided, okay, we're going to take it on a, like, I know we got mad at it before, but on a case-by-case basis, I think it's going to be, like, I would be totally fine with, like, they, you know, they show Blade at the Xbox showcase, and then PlayStation will come out afterwards, and we'll be like, hey, we've, like, you know, look what's coming and whatever. Like, it have the same trailer. Like, I don't think they need to hide anything. I don't think that they need to basically to acknowledge that it's also coming to PlayStation as well. They'll just, people will just see, oh, it's on social. Oh, it's also coming to PlayStation. All right, fine.
Yeah,
I'm with you on that.
We've been doing this all.
Yeah, I think so. But that's exactly why I think it's not decided yet. I think because we haven't heard about it being exclusive or not. It's because they don't know. Like, I honestly think.
We know too. Like, Indiana Jones was not going to be exclusive when they acquired Bethesda.
Right.
Like, they had to go back and remake that deal to make it Xbox first, at least. Yeah. So I do think that, like, all of this is very up in the air. Like, I don't know if they'd show it yet, but I think announcing it gets excitement behind the brand.
That's actually a good point, Riley, because, oh my God, I can't believe I just said that.
Clip it.
On the internet, it's going to be alive forever.
But, like, you know, maybe that's a learning, right? Like, there was a lot of preconceived notions that Indiana Jones was only going to be on Xbox. So it's like, okay, let's control the news. Let's just hold it back until it's absolutely confirmed during negotiations. And I think that's all that we're dealing with right now.
Yeah. Sure.
Well, I do find it weird that they didn't say only on Xbox at the end of that trailer. Like, it is all.
There's a reason.
So it's like, yeah, there's probably a reason that they weren't able to say it then, but maybe can if they massage the deal a bit.
Well, we will see in the coming months or years, or who knows how long this game will take to come out.
But one more thing I have a prediction for is, like, we're due for Activision Blizzard's backlog on Game Pass.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Dude, 100%.
Activision Marvel games, please.
They're totally saving that for the showcase.
Brought to new,
Ultimate Spider-Man is all I want.
That'd be so good.
I'm guaranteeing that's going to be... I'm guaranteeing that's 100% a showcase announcement. Like, everything, like all the backlog.
Bandicoots. Oh, please.
just make them available in the store again, at least, man. Like, I just want to be able to, like, buy all the Spider-Man.
Candy Crush available.
Hell yeah.
I want Ultimate Alliance.
You know what?
I still have Ultimate Alliance downloaded from when they did bring it back in the stores before they took it down again. So I have it, but... Yeah,
here's a thing that I wish would happen, but it probably won't. But it's sort of like my Steve's like perfect wish is that they would bring back the Star Trek games that they worked on with Activision.
That'd be great.
Force Man, that was my favorite games.
X-Men Legends, X-Men Apocalypse, dude. Oh, I need it. I need it. Those games are my childhood, man.
Oh, hell yeah.
I think it would be really...
so much they could do. I hope they go deep with it too. Like, bring it all back.
Yes, please.
Get Pitfall in there.
Yes, please.
I think first what we're going to see is those PC games. Like, if we're able to get some of those PC games coming to Xbox first, I think that's probably their first bit of announcement with a tease of, like, some of the older games coming back to Game Pass, which is really good to boost Game Pass and the value as there, which 100%, is, like, crazy if it gets, like, Spyro and stuff like that back. Oh, my gosh, that'd be crazy. But, like, yeah, I think first we're probably going to hear the PC games. Like, where are those PC games going to be sitting? Are they coming to the Xbox? Like, could you imagine, like, you have, like, Hearthstone or something like that on the Xbox? Like, it is very niche audience, but I think it does make a statement there that Xbox would be bridging the gap between console and PC.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. I think, too, World of Warcraft would be a huge announcement.
Oh, my God.
Like, that would be massive.
That's definitely going to happen at some point or another, whether it's announced at the showcase or not. Yeah. I don't know, but it's going to happen. Yeah.
They've already proved that you can take key bindings as complicated as Diablo 4 and boil it down into a controller scheme. That's once they prove that, I was like, World of Warcraft's next, guaranteed.
Yeah. Were they,
only a matter of time.
Do you think they'll make the move of putting the subscription for that a part of Game Pass?
No, only because you don't have the subscription for ESO or Fallout first. That's the only reason
They might, maybe on console. I don't know how it would function on PC.
Is there on console?
I don't know.
I believe, like, there is.
Is there? Okay, so maybe.
I haven't played in a while, and there used to be. I don't know if it's still there.
Hmm.
I know Fallout First is still active.
Give it a
goog. The first thing that came up is literally the first thing that comes up is literally ESO Plus. And that's like you basically pay like it looks like it's basically pay like $18 a month on console.
And there's no Game Pass perk for that. So I just feel like they're gonna lock all their subscriptions as subscriptions outside of Xbox Game Pass.
No, this looks like basically it's like a whole separate purchase. It's almost like it's its own storefront, like entry into the store. And you basically can choose either like increments of 1 month, 3 months, 6 months, or 12 months. 12 months is $172.99 Canadian.
So do we think we see a restructuring of like Game Pass offerings? Like,
that's what
business
I'm
wise, I think it would make sense if like you now acquired Activision Blizzard. Like, think of the subscriptions that are under there, right? To dedicated fans that's been with these games for a very long time. Does Game Pass slip in there and have another like tier of subscription for
probably like a discount or something?
Yeah,
like that would make sense, because then you can maybe get WoW subs to then subscribe to Game Pass, which would be a big win.
Yeah.
So I can
My hope
that.
Is that they wouldn't start baking stuff into Game Pass, because then that would inevitably lead to price inflations.
Yeah, I
think right now Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, I think, is pushing what, $18 in Canada. Once we exceed that $20, there's like a huge barrier of entry there, and
I can see them maybe there. Like, if it's for WoW, maybe making WoW Classic like a free sort of, like, you know, you don't have to pay a subscription for, but then if you want to jump into WoW proper, like, you pay the subscription for it, and then you get all the new expansions.
How's like WoW structured right now is like you can play for free up to a certain level, I think.
Yeah, I think that I can see them doing that for Game Pass.
Yeah, that makes sense. Like WoW Basic or something like that is like an entry tier, and then you can upgrade and pay monthly, probably.
Yeah.
Oh, do they talk heavy about COD and like what that means on Xbox in particular?
Of course.
Yeah.
They own that messaging now.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Do we see a PC, like, do we see a Game Pass integration with COD? Like Battle Pass or something like that?
I think you'll just get the game.
Probably just get the game, yeah. but not the battle pass. That's how they make their money.
Makes too much money for them to even consider handing that out for free. True.
Maybe they might give you like the first season of it free for the new game or something like that. They might be like a little initiative.
But that's what I'm like. Do we see it even come to Game Pass? Like,
yeah, I think you're probably right, Aaron.
Do we see it come to Game Pass? I that'll be interesting. That's definitely going to be the conversation. And
yeah, I don't think
there's I'd say there's a good chance. I wouldn't say it's guaranteed. I'd say there's a good chance. Yeah. I wouldn't say it's guaranteed.
They could add an Activision tier to Game Pass and be like, there you go. That's how you get caught every year. Well, if you just pay that fee or whatever. Like,
true.
$30 a month.
Or if you have Game Pass, you unlock like certain skins or something available, like season one or something like that. Like, I would see it as like a perk rather than like a complete like domination over the market of like it's gonna be free on Game Pass if you sign up.
But then you're starting to talk in like exclusive content, like that won't be available for like
it's like
you get like this,
you could
that we're talking
it,
about
or
like,
you could get it for free if you're a Game Pass member. You could get like certain skins for free rather than going through like through purchasing it or completing certain things.
Would
like it's unlocked through Battle Pass.
Would
like,
you just put the multiplayer on Game Pass instead? Like how?
No, I don't think you. I don't.
If people like, just play the multiplayer, why not just make it like a monthly thing then? Like you're gonna keep them on there for a subscription.
But then at that point, just give the campaign too. You know.
That's fair. Would that go against the argument of like then having a monopoly? Like I feel like they can't do that yet. Like I feel like they would.
Well, that's why I'm saying. I don't think that they would do those like exclusive like little skins on Game Pass because then they have to keep that offering for PlayStation and also technically Nintendo whenever they.
They did agree to uniformity across the platform. So.
Yeah.
No exclusive skins, but the language there is pretty flexible as well.
I think that the exclusivity for Xbox would be that, you know, any new COD would just come out on Game Pass. I'm not, again, not confirming that.
And Phil Spencer's kind of implied that. He's like someone said, Bobby Kotick mentioned that, you know, that they couldn't afford to put Call of Duty on Game Pass. And then Phil Spencer's direct response was, well, there's a new boss. So, I mean, it's kind of like, all right, we kind of probably can see that happening.
The other thing you got to consider is that Warzone is already free to play. So is it that much of a loss just to kind of bundle the core game into Game Pass?
Or is it, that's true. It could be a greater drive into that ecosystem.
Because all they want is to get you into the storefront. They want you in that battle pass.
Oh, yeah.
They want
you on if you buy two skins, you've already paid for the game.
Exactly.
Pretty much, yeah.
All they gotta do is drop another skin for Snoop Dogg and then they get their money back. Like it's
more Nicki Minaj for me.
More Nicki Minaj, exactly. All it takes. Kendrick Lamar in there, you know? Yeah. Like
they have the Kendrick and Drake battle in COD if you want.
I need that. I need a whole season event dedicated to that.
Who has played Tales of Kenzaru? I know Steve. And okay, like, yeah, that's it. All right, it's even myself.
I really want to because it's on PS Plus.
What was that?
And you get a trophy on PlayStation. It's on PS Plus, and you get a trophy, like a special little 3D collectible in PlayStation Stars if you play it.
Do you?
So I think I'm gonna have to boot it up on there when I have a moment.
All right. Okay. Well, Steve, what did you think of it?
I liked it a lot. I played it last week on stream, and it kind of scratched that itch that I loved about Prince of Persia, but was a little bit more playable in a sense of like for an accessibility standpoint, even though it's weird because it doesn't have a lot of accessibility. But I found myself enjoying this more than I did Prince of Persia. Both amazing games. And I would love to be able to go back to play Prince of Persia at some point, but there definitely are like the difference in that the jump puzzles or like the special kind of like, you know, the thing that, you know, the Prince of Persia is kind of known for. Yeah. It's a little bit more punishing on Prince of Persia's end, whereas like on Tales of Kenzera Zao, It's a little bit more like I feel like I'm able to do it if I just basically, because they don't take away health when you fail. You just kind of start back from where you were. They're all completely optional. But as far as like the story, the gameplay, and everything, I love the story. Like, it's definitely, you know, pulling at the emotional heartstrings of of dealing with grief and you know, the character's loss of their father. And I know that's a very personal story to Abu Salim, who made the game, and it's based on his own personal story a little bit. And I just like the vibe of it in general, and I'm only about like a couple hours in, but I'm like, okay, I'm itching to go back into it. I think I liked it a lot. I gave it did an accessibility review of it. So if you want to know more about what accessibility is, you can be able to go to my review on it. But I gave it basically a 3.5 out of 5 for accessibility.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah. For me, I'm pretty much, I think I'm 4 hours in, actually. And for me, like, I do enjoy the game. Like, first of all, visuals, outstanding. Acting, like, I expected greatness. That's what I got, greatness. Acting, this app is outstanding. Music is also really good as well. I don't know. The gameplay, for me, I find it to be a little janky and slower paced. That, like, I'm so used to, like, I'm trying to separate it from Prince of Persia, where, like, everything is, like, where I'll be able to, like do juggle moves, or I could parry right off the bat. I know at the beginning of this game, you get like little trinkets where one of them is that, so you have two different masks. You have a moon mask and a sun mask. And the sun mask is just basically like your heavy attacks, where the moon mask is more of like your, like projectiles. You can shoot
Melee is sun. Moon is a project, like, ranged.
Yeah. But you can only deflect with the moon mask. And then if you deal with an enemy who is a sun specific, you do reach that point where, like, you have an enemy who's like, oh, you can only do damage if you use the sun mass. Well, there's an enemy that will shoot something to you. I'm like, well, how can I deflect this now? I can't. There's no deflecting for the sun mass, because there's no, as far as I know, there's no trinket for it. Or, and that's actually, sorry, it's not a trinket. It's a skill that you unlock. It's you can't deflect it back. And I found there was one point where they had like enemies who were specifically for moon and then specifically for sun, and this switching between that was a little janky. I don't know if maybe it's like the PC port that I'm playing.
Interesting.
It wasn't as smooth. Like, you know, I'm just comparing it. Try not to compare it to Prince of Persia, which is like really fast paced. You can juggle enemies if you want. Like, you could smack enemies in the air for like 20 hits if you want to. Like Prince of Persia was like built to like. Okay, they try to
the combat system is very it's very like refined. The combat system in Prince of Persia, where I definitely see what you mean. Yeah, like I didn't come across any jankiness. I'm playing on the on Xbox.
Okay, and it could be a PC thing. I know some PC could, ports
are. Because there are times like I've kind of gotten to the point where in the game where you have to you would, because at first you could just basically, you can choose, once you kind of get both masks, you can choose what kind of like mask you want to be able to use. But then at some point, yes, you will find those enemies that you have to switch between like your sun mask and your moon mask, and it's a quick thing. Basically, you just hit like the left shoulder button and it'll automatically switch. It's basically like I found that once you kind of get into the rhythm of it, it's pretty good. I definitely, there was like kind of this one section, combat section, where I don't know if you got to this point, Marcel, where basically it's like an elevator that goes up and then each level.
Yeah, so that was the point enemies, where like you had to like either had the moon or sun specific enemies, and like I died there a couple of times. And I was like, well, I don't think it was a skill issue, but I think it was mainly like I was like, oh, let me switch to this.
Maybe because I was able to beat it.
Well, I'm just saying that like I was able to deflect, but I couldn't like swap over to like the sun right like as smooth as I wanted to.
Okay, yeah, so, I could definitely see that. You probably potentially like maybe that's a PC thing, a PC bug. But yeah, for during that specific part, I had a blast. Like it was challenging enough that I could definitely, like, I knew I had to sort of go in, like, have specific tactics. Okay, like, take care of these ones with the moon mask and switch over to the sun to be able to take care of these enemies and stuff like that. I found that what I loved actually was kind of using the dodge, which basically, so if there's like projectiles, or if you want to be able to like kind of like phase through the enemies, you basically hit the B button to dodge, and it will kind of like, and it will like not necessarily deflect a hit, but it would kind of like make you phase through an attack, yes, which is pretty cool. And that helped out a lot, which is pretty neat. And then I got to like I did find that the first boss that I came across, like the first major boss,
the bird one, I guess, right?
The bird one. Yeah. It was kind of I don't know. It didn't really like, it was, yeah, it was satisfying to be able to do it, but I was able to do it like in one go. And I didn't realize how much damage I was actually doing to the bird until like later. And then, it was like, oh wow, I'm already like 3/4 of the way through. And, because it was at one point, there were some points I'm like, I don't know, like, should I be dodging this section? I don't know what it wants me to do.
Yeah.
So I'm just kind of like figuring out based on my own like skill level of it or my own sort of way of doing the controls. But, again, it's just like, it just, as much like Prince of Persia is a satisfying game to play, whereas I think with Tales of Kinzera Zao for me is a more fun game to play, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
fair enough. Yeah, no, absolutely. It's like overall I am enjoying the time with the game as well, and like I know this is their first game and it's a really strong start for them as well. Like maybe it is like the PC port. There was a one point where like my camera shifted and I was like, I'm way over there, but like it's still showing the middle. So like it could just be like it could be like a PC issue as well.
Definitely is, because there are moments where it's like it shifts like in and out, like to kind of let you see things that so you can see your character and see like a target you're supposed to hit. And it's,
but for me, it just warped me like left side. I was like, what is going on here? Or like some enemies would be floaty a little bit, so it could be like a PC thing.
Oh,
so
okay,
maybe.
Yeah. But yeah, no, overall, like, having a good time with the game. I should be finished it tonight, actually, because it's not a very long game as well. Like a seven-hour game, so.
I'm only, halfway through Act 2 right now, so.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was surprised how long Act 1 was. I was like, are we still going? Like, we went from the bottom of the mountain to the top to the mountain. I'm like, oh my god, is it still Act 1? Are you sure? So, like, it was a pretty long act, that's for sure, so. And the last topic for today is the IDEA Xbox with an IGN showcase, a bunch of games such as, where was it? All You Need Is Help, which is like a Tetris style game where you try to like match the shapes on there, but you have other people join in as well. That's coming to Game Pass. 33 Immortals is a game that we saw at the Game Awards, I believe. That's made by Thunder Lotus, a Canadian company, the studio right over there. 33 other people, where you get to fight against. Like, I think they show off Lucifer in this trailer, which looks pretty neat. Aster is another one as well. Sentium, that game, that game looks like another World of Horror game. So that one, I was really captive. That one really got my attention with that game over there. What else? Farah is another Toronto-based studio as well.
Nice.
Their game showed off there. And anything you guys saw that caught your eye in there over there?
Promise Mascot Agency. That game was so up my alley. Mm. It looks super absurd. You're basically like managing a whole bunch of like sports mascots.
Yeah.
In this, it's a very stylized world. I don't know. I barely knew anything about it, but I was like, okay. These developers know the vibe, and I'm about it.
Yeah. Pal World was also shown here. You're getting four new pals to shoot or capture or whatever, do whatever you want with them, I guess.
Is anyone still playing that game?
I'm waiting for more content. That's about it.
I don't think I mean, it's definitely not as big as it was when everyone was talking about it, but I think it's still around. Yeah. Like,
this will have like an arena update coming out too. That's coming this fall, I think. So
yeah, like
that'll be a
stadium thing. That's good.
Yeah. Super Smash Bros. Yeah.
Yeah. there's new Jackbox game coming out. There's a naughty edition. All right. I don't know.
We certainly didn't play the other Jackbox game.
No, exactly. Yeah.
This will be the only one where we played it as
naughty
intended.
Already, you know? So, yeah. Their first
now
mature
they just
game.
All those words in for us. We don't have to, you know, go off the rails.
Yeah. Have you guys ever ordered one of the t-shirts from that game?
Yes. Yep.
A friend of mine has.
That's hilarious.
Oh my god. Yeah, it was like one of the fill in the blank ones that I was just able to like.
A friend of mine bought the shirt from like the drawing contests, you know, and like you have to draw whatever. Yeah.
Really good stuff. Yeah. There's an update to Vampire Savior as well. Survivors. That's also available on Game Pass. A lot of these are available on Game Pass, which is you know, this is why you should get Game Pass now before the price good goes deal. Up, you know. Yeah. And then there's also Lost Records as well, which is made by Dotnod Montreal. They're the ones who made Tell Me Why, not the song, but the game, you know. So.
Ain't nothing.
And you're welcome. And you're welcome. Overall, it was a solid show. I know IGN had like 3 hours worth, and they showed off some games as well. It was something cool to look at during the afternoon.
I will say, just as like a quick aside, this was my least favorite format and presentation of Xboxes so far this year.
Okay.
I think it was just a little too like overindulgent or too drawn out. I think if you're going to showcase indie games, especially. It's already a hard job to get people in and keep their attention.
Yeah.
I think it just has to be like a more tight-knit kind of presentation.
Here's the thing. They've been saying that for a couple of years now, because I actually hosted one of the ID at Xbox's showcases when Twitch was doing it.
Yeah.
And it was the same. It was the same thing. It was literally like the 3 hours of mostly a lot of like dev interviews and trailers. And I remember back then, like a lot of folks were saying, like, this needs to be much tighter. This needs to be much shorter than 3 hours.
Yeah.
But it was fun. It was fun to do. And I think like there was a lot of cool information that, you know, being to hear from the devs and stuff like that. It was a cool time when I was doing it. So I was like surprised, like not surprised. I was like, it was neat that they were able, like, Xbox was like, okay, you know, IGN will take that on. But it seems as if I wonder if that maybe is like that 3 hour time frame or that format is Xbox's thing instead of IGN's thing. Cause I thought that maybe that the whole thing was like a Twitch idea. They'll be like, well, let's stretch this out. You know, let's get people to tune in or whatever. But I guess not based off of what it was. But I will say this, it was the first time that I actually got to see not only an ASL version, but also an audio described version of a showcase on IGN. They've never done that before, but because Xbox has been doing that for all their stuff, they just forced IGN to basically run those streams too. So I was like, nice.
As they should.
Awesome. Exactly.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, just personally speaking, I started watching, I think I got like 20 minutes in. I was like, I got to tap out. This is just going on too long.
Yeah, I get it.
That's the Twitter thing, thread at the end.
If there's like an indie presentation, I feel like Nintendo's nailed the beat by beat for those things. It's like 15 minutes. There's some dev talk after some announcements. Like they pick and choose a certain like a handful of devs to do that, and then the one more thing, and you're free and clear, and you can leave. Like I think the 15 minute window is perfect.
Because we don't know these developers yet. We don't know whether or not to follow their story commitment.
It's not like a lack of interest or engagement from their games, but it's just like different. It's just like a different presentation.
I mean, we saw it earlier this year where they did the developer direct, where it was, hey, here's 20, 30 minutes, and we're going to sit down with each of these four developers after they announce their new project. It was like, that's very interesting. But it's also, hey, we're hearing about Indiana Jones.
If you want to stick with triple A's for a second, it's like we're going to sit down for 10 minutes and talk to the developers behind Contraband, or we're going to sit down for 15 minutes and talk to the developers of Gears of War 6. It's like, oh of War 6.
I think the pedigree of certain studios just be like, oh, I want to see what's behind the scenes is. Like, I would love to see like the Coalition or Bethesda, whatever. But it's like a random studio that's an indie. It's like, hey, indies definitely need the same love as much as triple A's do. And I'm glad that they're able to get those highlights. But it just seems as like I think that they probably would have been better served as part of like a wholesome direct or 6-1 indie showcase or the mix, like basically all the showcase they were showing off at GDC and PAX this past year.
Sometimes less is more. Like I still remember the first time I saw Cuphead.
Same.
And it would just flash on screen for 5 seconds. I was like, whoa, what was that? That looked incredible. There are those little things that work differently. And I just think that marketing indie games, it can't be handled the same as AAA. It's just a little different.
Mm-hmm. Just that same point. I mean, I will always remember all those ID at Xbox, like sizzle reels that happened at Xbox's E3 showcases. Cause it would be like right in the middle of the presentation, here's 30 seconds. And like your point, that's where Cuphead first premiered. And it was always boom, 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 boom. And you'd see something that you'd like and you'd immediately be like, what was that? Go back, find the name, find the developer, and then follow that story specifically. And
exactly.
That's just the kind of cadence you need.
Yeah.
I think with indie, it's like you need to have the viewer, like you need to tease the viewer to want to like step in and dive deeper.
Because 100%.
Although we do appreciate the stories, I think a lot of people want to learn about the stories behind these independent developers because it's so interesting how they're able to do so much with such a small team and limited resources most of the time. It's just not necessarily going to help get those get more people to play their games. So it's like, I don't think they cracked the formula quite yet.
Caboose, what's going on for your rest of the week?
Oh boy. You know, actually Steve just got back from Disney. I'm going to Disney on Friday. So I'm going on a little vacation and honestly, I'm just sitting here and anticipating, like we talked all about Xbox, you know, we got the big showcase announcement happening in June, PlayStation, it's your turn, you know, when's the showcase? I mean, May is upon us now.
Wait, and
the
rumors
are pointing to a PlayStation showcase in May.
You have a habit of having showcases happen while you're on vacation.
I have a habit of stuff happening.
Does that mean we can confirm Spider-Man 3 is coming this week because he's going on vacation?
God damn.
I got lucky though this time. The Marvel Rivals beta or the closed alpha test, it's happening the day I get back. And it's in the evening too. So I don't even know if I got in or not. Hopefully I get in. But if I do, I get to come back from my vacation well rested and just jump right into Marvel Rivals, the closed test.
So that's great. Because I'm excited for that. Heard that PlayStation is hosting a 30-minute state of play on Wolverine this Friday at 2 p.m.
You joke. But it's going to happen.
So
it's
hope that you bring your Elgato face cam, your microphone, everything onto the plane.
Hey, do you have the Elgato Neo
stuff? I filmed my reaction last year to the Mortal Kombat 12 tees at Disney World with Mickey in the background waving at me.
Mickey was doing a fatality in the background.
So it's gonna happen. We joke, but I'm positive there's gonna be some big gaming news that I need to cover while I'm on vacation because it's been happening every single time I go on vacation for the last 3 years. So we gotta continue the trend, don't we, industry? Huh? So, but I'm pretty sure that PlayStation Showcase announcement is like imminent. Like it's any day now.
Now that you said that, I feel like the people
they're only one that's announced anything.
Are like, all right, we confirmed Caboose is going to be away.
All right,
to make sure
time to announce it. Spider-Man. Yeah. Time to talk about Spider-Man 3. Yeah. Wolverine.
Ultimate Spider-Man 2 out today. You know, just
God, yeah. I'd lose my mind. Yeah. But yeah, that's it. I'm going on vacay. I'm excited to get some time to rest and enjoy myself and just take a little bit of a breather. Hopefully depending if there's going to be any announcements. But then, like I said, next week, Marvel Rivals closed test. I'm crossing my fingers that I get into that.
Awesome. Awesome. Steve Saylor.
I'm just basically working away, streaming on Twitch, and putting stuff up on YouTube, doing some more reviews, stepping that up a little bit. Kind of like revamped a little bit of my content schedule. So I've been streaming a lot more, making video, like a lot more reviews, a lot more. I've got reviews of Tales of Kitsera's out coming out, that are out. I've got Stellar Blade. I've got that review. Another Crab's Treasure. I've got a review coming out for that. And just kind of working away there. And so, just follow me at Steve Saylor pretty much everywhere. It's pretty much it. Other than Dungeons and Disabled, because that's a whole other separate thing. So.
Steve Monday.
I don't know. I'm like I said, I'm still trying to get off of like vacation mode. I don't even know what day it is. Whatever. Who cares?
Where are we?
Sorry.
Yeah. All right, Riley. How about you?
I might laugh at that for a little bit after the call, but I don't. I'm really not doing too much. Like we're kind of gearing up for some stuff that's coming up in May, which will be exciting. And I'm playing a ton of Sea of Thieves on PS5 right now. I think I'm gonna platinum it.
No way.
Oh, nice.
I'm gonna go for it. I think I can do it because it's the trophies are broken into two lists. And you only have to do the top list to platy it. So I'm like, I think I can do it. I'm about 57% of, I've already done 57% of the trophies. So it's mostly just a grind now.
Yeah. Huh. Could they pop over, right? They carry over from
Xbox. Some of them do. Yeah, yeah. All your stuff from Xbox to PlayStation or PC or wherever you played it. So you just log into your Microsoft account and there it is. So
that's awesome.
Looking forward to doing that. So I'm going to do that. So if anybody wants to play, let me know.
No.
I'm super game.
Not with you.
Anyone but Camille wants to play, let me know.
It's crossplay, right?
If I get it, yeah, I'll totally jump in with you.
It's crossplay, awesome. Though, is it or no?
Yeah, it's crossplay. It okay. Yeah.
Oh, is it crossplay?
There you go.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, okay. I'll totally jump in then.
There you go. Camille, how about
you
yourself?
Don't have to be forced diver, to. Yeah. I know Riley can be that way, but no, I'm kidding.
What are you talking about?
What?
What?
Huh?
Huh? Hmm? Where are we?
What's going on?
Yeah.
For me, honestly, it was.
Good show, my everyone. Thanks for tuning in.
Again. That was incredible.
Bye. Bye.
Honestly, it was just like so busy. I had to work. I was traveling a bit, so I'm just kind of settling down now, trying to enjoy my birthday post birthday by relaxing, playing games. and then you know what? I'm gonna head into Helldivers in Riley's party and just friendly fire.
Oh,
sending it your way.
He has an open lobby, so you can jump in anytime. So,
wrap it up.
Don't worry, Riley. We'll go on a PVE server, so you'll be fine.
Thank you. Oh,
please wrap it up.
What is that?
There it is.
Oh,
oh
my gosh.
Boy. For me, I'll be streaming every day for the month of May. I'll be raising money for St. Jude. So if you want to make me do stupid stuff, you're more than welcome to donate and make me do it. So there you go. So come on by and help me raise
some money. I think I just ruined all my makeup because I was crying so hard. Like, look at this.
Oh my God.
Oh my.
Incredible.
Wow.
Amazing.
Thanks a lot, Riley.
All right,
I think the title of this episode, We Made Camille Cry.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
That's let's clickbait. There you go.
Yeah, let the Riley go play some Sea of Thieves.
Riley gave me a black eye. How about that?
Is this the thumbnail?
Wait, let me do the.
Yeah, perfect.
Or,
you know what? That's
make sure to screen. Screenshot this.
You know, I haven't even stopped recording. I haven't even said goodbye to everybody yet. So there you go. Goodbye, everybody.
You have all the time in the world. You have all the time in the world. You take your time. You're good.
I'm good. I'm cutting off. Bye, everybody.